Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And all the time. You know, most times we forget how God is good. Ministers were having a meeting, I think last week, then we had someone that spoke to us, and one of the things the lady said was, she was talking and she was like, she normally have a gratitude journal, okay? And that gratitude journal, what she writes on it is, she normally documents everything God does for her. As simple as having an online class, all right, with people following her, and there's no glitch at all. Like, there's no network problem. She normally writes it down. She normally documents it as a success for that day. And she terms it the goodness of God. So you don't know that most of the times we want to maybe take keke to our lectures when you want to just take a bike and someone will just be like, sorry, sis, can I pay for you? And you'll be like, oh, thank you, I'm grateful. You think that's you? That's the goodness of God. But because we are just so, we just want big things. We want those big things. You want to have a big million of dollar in your account before you say, Father, this is you. This is your hand. Amen. You want, see, God's hands are always with you, all right? He's always with you. So let's be thankful. Pastor say, if you are thoughtful, you'll be thankful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, first of all, I want to appreciate God for this privilege. It's a privilege given to me by a pastor. And I want to appreciate Pastor in absentia. Please, let's celebrate Pastor. Let's celebrate him. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Celebrate Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can be seated. And I really consider this like a very big shoe for me. It's a very big shoe, but I do not take this privilege for granted at all. I'm grateful to God and I'm grateful to Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we'll be concluding our series we started this month of January, Bible themes on money. Amen. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you. Thank you because in the name of Jesus, we receive this true word of the Lord from a pure heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 1:25. That's a good place to start today. Philippians 1:25. Are we all there? Is he on the screen? All right, so we'll all read together. 3, 2, go. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Amen. Amen. I wanted to, if that's your Bible, I wanted to underline for your furtherance. I wanted to underline furtherance. Furtherance. And now that word furtherance is from the Greek word, as Pastor said, prokope. And it means advancement. It means progress. It's something we term spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So the word furtherance is from the Greek word prokope. It means progress. So Pastor Paul here is saying, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So Pastor Paul was interested in their spiritual growth. Of the church in Philippi. He was so interested in their growth. Now, you cannot talk about spiritual growth if you don't talk about money. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we can't talk about spiritual growth if we don't talk about money. So Pastor Paul was so deliberate in his teaching curriculum. The same way this church, we are very deliberate in our teaching curriculum. In our teaching series, if you observe, we do series, you see Inferno, you see this gospel, you see themes on money, like the one we started, and you see Bible study, we are doing orthodoxy, right? And they are in series. It's very, very deliberate. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when we talk about money in church, we are not talking about one business Harvard plan. No. We are not talking about how to start doing business in church. No. We are talking about what is your relationship with money. Is your relationship with money healthy? Most persons don't have an healthy relationship with money. When it comes to money, it's just like, I'm on my life, I'm on my own. You guys just remain there. My life is just me, remain there. So we can't talk about spiritual growth if you don't talk about your healthy relationship with money. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So just like Apostle Paul, we are also deliberate in telling you this is how money works. this is how we should handle money. Your relationship with money should be this and all. And you see, in almost 28 parables that Jesus gave, all right, about 11 of it, he spoke about money. Hallelujah. Amen. See, there's no how a believer can talk about spiritual growth and the person doesn't talk about money. Because the only thing that Jesus said that can compete with God in man's heart is money. Like, the only thing that can compete with God in your heart. You know, God created man, all right? And he has put himself in your heart. So the only thing that can compete with God's place in your heart is money. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So previously we looked at idolatry as one of the themes. Amen. And we can see that in Matthew 6:24. We're just going to be doing some recap of our previous lessons. Matthew 6:24. Can we have it, media? Matthew 6:24. All right, can we read together? It said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon there is money. So are you saying, the only thing that God, that Jesus put hand to hand, all right, that is able to compete with God in a man's life is money? Just think about it. The only thing that can compete with God in a man's heart is money. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here, Jesus helps us see that nothing else has the ability of competing with God in our hearts like money. It means we must never let money, either the abundance of it or the little of it, take the place of God in our heart. How? You know, most of the times when we don't have enough, when we don't have enough money in our bank account, all right, worry sets in. And now, worry is not faith. The man that is worried, the man is not acting on God's word. And if you are not acting on God's word, you are not in faith. Hallelujah. Any man that's not acting on God's word, that man is not on faith. Because worry is anti-God. Worry is anti-God's word. Amen. Bible says we should be anxious for what? Yeah. So worry is anti-God's word. Praise the Lord. So you don't have money in your bank accounts. Things are not just going well the way you have programmed it yet. Mark my word, I said yet. Because not like it's not going to happen. All right? So you are just worried. You are just being depressed. You are just thinking. You are just worried. You're just moody. You're not just in the mood. You don't just get joy. Like, you born again believer, you're a believer having God's spirit in you. You're having the fruit of the spirit and you don't get joy. Amen. Bible says in the book of Galatians 5:22, it said, "And the fruit of the spirit is love, joy." Okay, so joy is part of it. So if you say you don't get joy, it means you're not born again. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, now that's the absence of money. The absence of money makes some persons, because they are not having a healthy relationship with money. They feel like they don't have money, so life is just, they're just on the low. Like, their life cannot amount to anything. And that's a lie. See, because anything that God's word have not said is a lie. Anything that God's word have not said to you is a lie. Anything that is contrary to what God has said is a lie. They are just facts, and facts are not truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And also the abundance of it. Abundance. So many persons, once they have money, no more coming to church. Now that's because from the beginning, your life has been about, give me God, give me God, give me God, because my name is Jimmy. Hallelujah. So it's all about give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Now, the abundance of it will make you be like, I don't really need God because I have enough. Then that means, if you say you don't really need God, I want to ask a question. Please, who supplies your need? Who supplies? For my God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory that is in Christ Jesus. God supplies. He's the one that supplies. He made you and yours. So he's responsible for you and yours. Your everything is him and his ease. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So you see, most persons, the abundance of money, we have it plenty. Let's just party on. I beg. Life is not hard. Like, let's just. And when there's no money, you are just so cold feet. In fact, you are not in the mood to come to church. You are not in the mood to pray. And see, Satan is very wise. Even though his wisdom is foolishness, but he's wise that he will make you worry to the point of it affecting your devotion. Like, you can't pray. And see, any man that doesn't pray. Now, I'm not talking about prayer of Father meet my needs, because prayer is not. There's language I want to use. See, prayer is involving God. It's not informing God. Okay, so the moment you see prayer like you want to just inform God, you just want to inform Him with your documents, with your list of things, then when you don't have anything, you cannot even, some person cannot trust God for 500 naira, and that's bad. You know, most of the times we proclaim the word of faith in our head. It's just in our head. Yes, I'm blessed. The moment, you know, when you're in church, I was sharing with someone yesterday. I said, when you're in church, the devil will not come and hit you with lack or anything that is anti-God's word. It's immediately you leave here. You're in your room. There's no footstop, nothing in your cupboard. You just check. You say, oh, my, it's just a disfit in the walk. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it's faith is not mental assent. Yeah, it's not in the head. Faith is gotten from the revelation of God's word you receive in your spirit. Hallelujah. So faith is not head. It's not head. Faith is in your spirit. It's in your heart. Your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So the absence of it, all right. Now, if the absence of money and the abundance of money, all right, makes you lose your devotion, all right, it makes you not pray more as usual, then it means that thing is competing with God in your heart already. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The next thing we spoke about was mastery. We saw that we must be able to master money. Money must never have control over us. Omo, have you ever seen people that have money? Do you shout at? I mean, those people that have money and they don't know that their supply is God. That's what I'm talking about. They spoke to people rudely. There's nobody's their mate. Like, who are you? They just get out. Everybody's an animal. Yeah, I was coming from Abuja when, and I had one man, he was talking to someone. I think the bike man mistakenly wanted scratching his car. I said, look at you, animal. In my heart, I was just bleeding. I was like, Jesus, God's creation, animal. He was just calling him animal. He didn't do him. He now called him goat in Hausa. He called him Akuya. Ah, I was like, no. So some persons, immediately they have money. Even their family, they know them. In fact, if their mom called them, they'll be like, I'll call you back. I say, I'll call you. I'm busy. And you'll be so busy that you can't even come to church to fellowship with your brethren. You've not mastered money yet. And God will be thinking, should I give this one the $1 million I want to give? Because your mind, see, it's not about getting the money. It's what you do. What you do. Do you get it? So all those money you've been asking God for, God is still training you. There's still something He's still training in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The next thing we talked about was liberality. That is open-handedness. You should understand this one. In fact, this one should not be found among God's brethren, because we are brethren. All right? You saw the church, in the early church, how they give. In fact, even the Old Testament people, when they wanted building the temple, they were just providing. They were bringing things. In fact, they had to tell them, guys, it's okay. Just stop. Hold on. Because they were giving. Even the early church, they were giving. Giving was their culture. Praise God. I will say this. If you don't give, if you are not liberal, and see, liberality starts first from your heart towards God. You must be a liberal person to God first before you can be liberal to someone. Because You can't say you love God that you've not seen. Then your neighbor that you have seen. See, God is in your heart, Abby. And you love God, right? So if you are not faithful to God in your heart, you cannot be faithful to someone. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that except the theology you've known affects your practice, it's still a head knowledge. Do you get it? Because our teachings are pragmatic. It must be in your heart. So you must be Libra in your heart. Because liberality, okay, is in the heart, but there's an outflow of it. The outflow of it is open-handedness. You're so open-handed. Like, you're just so open. You don't hold on to your money. There's some people who hold on to money. They, like, it's their life. They hold, it's my money. Just leave it. Like, you don't hold on to money like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the next one we spoke about was contentment. I think I love all very well, but I think I love contentment more. Let's open to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:5. Let me show you guys something. Hebrews 13:5. Media, Hebrews 13:5. Now, can we read together? 3, 2, go. Let your conversation, hold on. The word conversation, there is no talking. Conversation is manner of life. All right, it's not conversation of, let's talk, conversation, no. Conversation there is manner of life. That's the meaning. So let's read. Let your conversation, that is your manner of life, be without covetousness and be content with such as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Next verse. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Please go back to the previous verse. Go back to verse 5. And be content with such things as you have. And be content with such things that you have. I'll take it again. And be content with such things as you have. See, if you are not living in contentment, you are not living in faith. You know why? It means you are trying to tell God that what he has provided for you is not enough. Hallelujah. Amen. Wait, why are you being restless? Why the restlessness? Like, why are you restless? You're not content. And see what lack of being content causes. It makes you want to live in competition because you want people to see you. I don't want to use the word celebrity. You want people to see you with a very big I figure. You want people to see you as this when you are not. This, you are deceiving your own self. Is that not deceptive? It is now. You are deceiving yourselves. Hallelujah. Be content. See, tell your neighbor, say, be content. See, if you are not content and you are singing, I will be content in every circumstance, you are just lying to yourself. Amen. Contentment should be your culture. See, don't ever feel intimidated by anybody. Life is a process. Don't. You see the way this fan, how many of us have a standing fan in our rooms? You have a standing fan. Okay. But you know how a standing fan rotates. All right? If it comes here, it goes there. If it comes here, it goes there. If it comes here, it goes there. Like that, it comes back. It goes clockwise, anti-clockwise, it goes on and on like that. See, life na jeje. Everybody go dey fine. Everybody is just like that. It's rotating. So be calming down. Calm down. Just be content. Be content. Be satisfied with what you have. See, you see that 1,000 naira your parents sent to you on a monthly basis as your pocket money. Receive it with gratitude. See, receive it from your heart. If your dad can give you 2,000 naira or 4,000 naira out of a 10,000 naira, it means if that man has $1 million, he's going to give you more. Be satisfied. See, if at a point in your life you're trusting God for something and it has not come to pass, see, it's not about that thing you're trusting. It's God is working in your heart. He's giving you stability. He's making you to wait. That's why the book of Philippians 1, from verse 9 and 10, he said, being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, with long suffering and joyfulness. So it means things are not working well. You are joyful. Do you get it? It means, see, living in contentment is living in faith. Because you're not having something, but you are joyful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please, let's live in contentment. This is our culture. Forget how many persons have Lexus. Forget it. Forget who has made it. Your friends, all of them, they have made it. Okay. It's now bounced back to what you term as made it in life. Hallelujah. Yeah, they've made it, but do they have salvation? Are they saved? See, it's like you don't understand. Silver and gold put together cannot buy you. No, I'm not saying this to sweeten your hearing system or something. I'm telling you, I'm letting you to know that that's God's word. Bible says, for you were born not with corruptible material. So silver and gold is corruptible. He says, such as silver and gold, but you are born with the incorruptible material. He said, the word of God. That was what gave birth to you. The word of God. Hallelujah. You can never pay for salvation. No man can pay. All the riches in this world can never pay. See, if you have all the riches in this world and you don't have Jesus, if you die, you're going to hell. Amen. Are we not trying to say that we should just stay poor? But it still goes back to what is your mentality of being poor? Because poverty is a state of mind. It's not absence of necessity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So we talked about frugality. And this one is talking about being economical. Alright? Pastor spoke about how that so many persons can waste. In fact, that was my life like around 4 years, 3 years ago. I know I don't eat much. I eat just small. But I want to make plenty food. You know, some persons are like that. You just, I have money. They will know in this compound. They will know. If their nose will know. Hallelujah. Just be economical. Because if you eat small, like me, cook small. You're not being stingy. No, you're not being stingy. Except if you're expecting visitors or something. But see, every time that visitors come to your house, are you Mother Christmas? You're not now. Amen. Be economical. Cook what you can eat. Don't waste money. You know, some persons, they buy things at impulse. Do you know? I was like that before. But God has helped me. See, Mama, I've changed my mind. Like, I've repented. I'm still repenting. You don't have plan of buying a shirt. But immediately you went to the market to buy something. You just saw the shirt. I need to buy this shirt. It was not your plan. It was not your agenda. It means you are buying things on impulse. It just felt like buying. You're not being frugal. Amen. Praise God. Now, we see how to be frugal. Avoid wastage. Do not gamble. Do not gamble. See, gambling is not the will of God. Because gambling is what gambling does. Gambling removes the hands of God. It makes it look like it's your effort. It's you. Then it removes favor from you. Gambling is luck. And believers don't live by luck. We live by favor. The Lord will encompass the righteous with favor as with his shield. It's not with luck as with his shield. It's favor. Amen. We believe in prosperity in this church. We believe that God can strategically position you by the guidance of God's Spirit to do a business, to just invest your money into something. We're going to be talking about investment soon. All right? The Holy Spirit can just inspire you to do it. But it's not by gambling, trying to do luck. Come on. You're a child of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be friend with irrational spenders. Don't. You don't spend money on impulse. I've said that. Amen. The next one is covetousness. All right, so let's see Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. We need to hurry up now. Okay, so can we read together? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Okay. Have you seen that? So your life is not all about what you have and what you don't have. So now, trying to place value on what you have and what you don't have, it means you don't know your life. Because God's love for you is not conditioned to how much you have in your bank account. He said, with an everlasting love, have I loved you. It's not with the contents of the amount of money in your bank account, have I loved you. No. He said, with an everlasting love. So it's not conditioned to what you have or what you don't have. Your life is not about what you have or what you don't have. Come on. Your life is not about that. Amen. 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 You are the treasure person of the Lord. Bible says we are God's special purchased person. Like he specially purchased you. Amen. Amen. So now, covetousness, all right, is rooted into comparison. You want to have what your friends are having. If it's not this hair, it's not my life. Let me just have this hair. And have you ever noticed that if you really go after that hair, after some time, the hair will now look obsolete, like it's now outdated. You want something new. That's God, that's your heart, that's man's heart. You always want more. Amen. So if that your roommate, like the example pastor was giving, has a lot of money and you are just managing by the help of the Lord. You are just feeling intimidated. You want to carry the same bag they are carrying. No, don't. See, that's what makes ladies, all right? That's what makes guys see ladies like cheap. Yes, because they feel like their life is just about things. This one, not just things. It's just things. It's just shoes, bag. God knows me, I don't even like bag. Somebody told me, I don't like bags. I don't like carrying bags. Because I feel like I can hold my phone. What am I putting inside? I don't have money. Like, I have money, but... I don't have cash. You know that. Yeah. I don't have cash at hand. Thank you, sis. Do you get that? So what is load? I don't like load. What am I carrying bag? It's load. But you see, bags. Hair. Human hair. Bone straight. Hair that has frontal closure, 360, everything. Come on. See, every man has a design. Your design in Christ is there. Every man has a design. See, stay there. Just remain in your design. Remain there. Remain there. Don't compare yourself. And you know the worst part? Some people start comparing themselves with unbelievers. I'll just be like, hey, unbelievers. He doesn't have relationship with God. Like he's like a dead corpse walking. Yes, because any person that is not born again is not alive to God. You don't have the life of God. It means at the sound of the trump, he cannot change. There's no change for him. Hallelujah. And you compare yourself with someone that is dead, someone that needs help. They need help. Wait, how will you start comparing yourself with someone that needs help? That's what I'm thinking about now. The person needs your help. Is your help the person needs? In fact, the person needs you more than you need him or her. Because you have the saving power. You have the gospel. The gospel does not have power. The gospel is the power of God. That's all you have. Amen. Hallelujah. So please, no comparison. If your mind is trying to, because you know our mind is changing, we are renewing our mind daily. If your mind wants to tell you, compete, compare yourself, say, no, I am born of God. No, I'm alive to God. No, God have treasured me so much. No, I have all that I need for life and godliness. You see, when you start talking that way, such thoughts will just go off. Because those are not your thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The next one is faithfulness. Be faithful to God with your finances. Train your soul to recognize God as the priority whenever money gets into your hands. See, anytime money comes to your hand, let's say $1,000, and your mind, you're already thinking of 200 or, okay, 100 naira is for God. You are training your mind. It's a training. See, it's a training on the inside, because if any other money comes that is above 1,000 naira, your soul will be like, even if I say she should do this thing, her mind is already trained. You are training your mind. Be faithful to God with your giving, with your money. That faithfulness is you telling God that, Father, it's you. You are the supply, right? Yes, He is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so today in this very service, we shall look at one other thing. It's titled investment. Investment. We don't have time. Time is far spent. Wow. Okay, time is far spent. All right, firstly, let's open to Luke 16. Luke 16, from verse 1. All right, please, let's read together. He said, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Next verse. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of my stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Next verse. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. Next verse. I am resolved what to do. That means he was saying, I know what to do right now. He said, when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their house. Let me give you the gist. Now, there was a man, all right? He has a manager. So the manager was managing the man's estate, all right? And a report was brought to the man that, Omo, your manager is spending, like he's doing anyhow. He's spending your money, he's doing anyhow. So the manager now called him, say, guy, come. What is it I'm hearing? That you're spending my money. Please, come and give me reports. I want to see reports of all the things you've been doing, all the expenditure. I want to see reports. And in fact, you are sacked. You are sacked, but bring reports. So the guy was not like, okay, so what am I going to do now? My manager, my boss, all right, have sacked me. And if he has sacked me, I don't have a job again. So what should I do? And me, I cannot beg. And I cannot dig. Like, I cannot farm. I cannot dig ground to get money. All right? So that's the story. So he said, the manager now said, I am resolved what to do. What then? I am put out of the stewardship. They may receive me into their houses. He was saying, I know what to do. So that even if my oga sacks me, all right, people will still receive me into their houses. Let's see what he did. So he called every one of his lord's debtors. That is, he called all the people that are owing his boss money. All right, he called them one after the other and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? That is, how much are you owing my oga? Next verse. And he said, 100 measures of oil. So the debtor said, 100 measure of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So if you are owing my oga 100, reduce it, make it 50. That's what he was saying. No, do you get the gist? Do you get it? So let's continue. Then he said to another person owing, he said, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 40. First score, if a score is 20, first score is 20 times 4. All right, that's 80. So he said, take thy bill and write 40. That is, if you are owing my oga 100, make it 80. Let's go further. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now, I know your mind will be like, the Lord commended him. He's a thief now. He robbed his boss. But let's see what he commended him on. He said, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Let's go to verse 9. He said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting life. Let me explain this. Okay, so he told them to bring down the price, all right? Please go to verse 8, sir. Verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. So there was wisdom in that thing that guy did. See, the guy knew that he was going to be sacked. The guy was ready, all right, for his future unemployment. That's investment. He was ready. He said, my girl will sack me now. In fact, he has sacked me already. So I cannot beg. The guy is actually a proud guy. He said, I cannot beg and I cannot dig ground. I cannot start farming. Wait, see, I can't do that. So what should I do? He said, he just went back to those guys owing his boss and said, Alpha, you are owing my uncle 100. Please make it 50. If you were the one, won't you be happy? Wow, I was owing 100, so he's making 50. Tomorrow, if that guy comes back and said, I don't have a job, please receive me. Won't you receive him? Yes. The master said that was wisdom. So the guy invested. You know, most of us, our lives is just about the moment gratification. We just want now enjoyments. Just now, now. Just now, now, now. We're just thinking about now. No investments, nothing, nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the wisdom here is that the manager found out what money was meant for. His perspective to money as a tool to secure the future, even though he was going to lose his job. He wasn't looking at the enjoyment for now. Amen. Hallelujah. This should leave us with a question, all right? What is your present perspective about money? Is it for now or for the future? You know, most of us, we don't invest at all. I'm talking about good investment. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about good, godly investments, good investments. All right? Now, go to verse 9, sir. Let me show you guys something. Verse 9. He said, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that is when that money finishes. Okay? Now, the guy made himself friends to the mammon. Do you know how? By cutting down the debt of those guys. So now that he doesn't have a job, when he comes back to knock at those guys' door, they're going to open their door and let him in. That was what he did. Hallelujah. So now, what is the point of action? Number one, do a reappraisal on your perspective towards money and make yourself friends of the money. That is when the money runs out, all right, you may have everlasting habitation. Amen. Your spending should be of eternal value. I think we'll talk about this more in second service. Praise the Lord. Your investment. All right. So think of your future, of the future you desire in your career, in your relationship, in your ministry. Okay. On the scale of eternity. Have eternity in heart. Don't always think of now, 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 there to end. Have eternity in heart. All right. And use your present monetary power to secure that future through investment. Invest into things of eternal value. Invest into things of eternal value. So that when you are no more, all right. When you are no more living, those things will speak for you. Because they have eternal value. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that when you leave this world, it will speak for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Time is fast spent. Father, we thank you for your word that have come to us. Thank you because we are doers of your word. In Jesus' name, and we are blessed indeed. In Jesus' name. Hope we're blessed. Thank you.